Hey listeners, it's KJ here. This summer, the summer of 2024, we are offering for paid subscribers the Blueprint for a Book Summer Sprint. And I'm super excited about it. It's 10 weeks. There are four author accelerator coaches who are going to be playing along, hosting AMAs and ride-alongs and taking all of your questions and really just building a cohort of writers all working towards the goal of creating a blueprint for the book that they want to write or a blueprint for the book that they have already written that is just not coming together, which is often what I use the blueprint for. That's my pitch. I really think it's worth it. You do have to be one of the AmWriting what we call stickers, our paid supporters, but we're talking $8 a month max, $80 a year, which divides out to less than $8 a month. You can sign up, do this for 3 months, and then unsign up. We totally get it. And if you do sign up and you complete the blueprint, you can enter to win a blueprint review from me or Jenny Nash. And let me tell you that the person who won that when we ran this 2 years ago got a book deal. And you can hear her story in a recent episode of #AmWriting. You know, obviously that's big. And we're so thrilled that that happened for her. And if you want a shot at that, you gotta finish a blueprint. If you want a shot at finishing your book, you kind of got to do this work, whether you call it a blueprint or not. So there's more information, amwritingpodcast.com, all the information, sign up, get yourself set. You can start this at any time. And you know when the best time to start it? Well, the best time to start it would have been like, you know, 2 years ago, but the second best time, right now.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone, try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
The #AmWriting team is so excited to present this interview with Barb Mays Bosted because it's a #AmWriting success story. Barb was the random winner of the blueprint contest we ran in the summer of 2022. She won a blueprint review with me, and I had the chance to do several back and forths with Barb to help her get her idea and her book proposal into shape. She also worked with other folks along the road, but the upshot is that she recently landed a book deal. Her book, Wilder Weather, What Laura Ingalls Wilder Can Teach Us About Watching the Weather, Understanding Our Climate, and Protecting What We Cherish, will be published by the South Dakota Historical Society Press in 2025. Barb is no stranger to writing about the weather. She is a meteorologist, climatologist, and instructor. Her career roles have included operational weather forecaster, national climate outreach and partnerships program manager, and central U.S. climate program manager, all with the National Weather Service. She received a PhD in Natural Resources, Climate Assessment and Impacts from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Her award-winning dissertation, The Hard Winter of 1880 to 1881, Climatological Context and Communication via a Laura Ingalls Wilder Narrative, and its subsequent papers are the only academic publications in the intersection of Wilder and weather. Barb also writes about weather and climate for trade publications such as The Washington Post, translating geek speak into bite-sized tasty. In this interview, we talk about her journey to publication. Welcome, Barb. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Jenny. I am so excited to be here.
This is just the best possible interview that we could have, which is a success story of a beautiful book that is the book of your heart, and it now has a home and a pub date and all the things. And this just happened, really, when we're speaking, it's just barely been a week. So how are you feeling?
I think I'm still floating just a little bit. The reality of the deadline is setting in also, but I am beyond excited that I have a contract and a real publication date and an end goal.
So the manuscript is not complete. That's what you're referring to.
The manuscript is mostly complete. The process of going through edits and reviews, of course, is going to take some time.
So there'll be peer reviews.
There will be peer reviews and readers that they assign.
So this story has such a happy ending, but like all book projects, there were twists and turns and, you know, dramas along the way. You've tried to sell this concept in different ways for a long time. So does it feel as if where you've landed is, I don't know, inevitable? Does it feel like this was the right place?
It feels like where this book landed is where it's meant to be and was meant to be all along.
That's an incredible statement and feeling. So let's go back then to the beginning. I saw your project not at the beginning. I saw it when it was in the middle. You had a book proposal. You've been shopping that proposal around, and there were probably years before that. So what was the original vision?
When I first sat down to write this book, I had a whole bunch of really cool weather facts about the Laura Ingalls Wilder books and had been presenting them at conferences for a long time, and knew in my head and in my heart, I wanted to write all these fun things down. And I had started that process some time ago of writing the cool facts down. And then I found a book coach because I was stuck and having a hard time figuring out where to go. And my original book coach, Carolyn, who is wonderful, helped me understand that just the cool facts, while very interesting to me as a weather nerd, may need something more to it for my readers. So we started untangling how to make a story out of all of these interesting pieces of information that I had. But when I went to do the blueprint again, it was because I was stuck again. And my dear coach, Carolyn, had said, you know, it works until it doesn't. And then if it doesn't, you have to figure out why and address it. And I was in that place again where it had worked until it didn't.
And you were sending it out to publishers, I think, at the time, traditional big five, or it was agents. I'm sorry, it was agents you were sending it out to, right?
I had queried agents. I had put together a book proposal with my coach's help. And I had gotten, like many people who query, a whole lot of non-responses, a few form responses, and then a few constructive responses that were personalized. And the constructive responses mostly fell in the category of, it's interesting or you write well, but I don't know how to market this.
I remember seeing one of those and it was long. It wasn't just a couple sentences, right? It was like a page of, I love Laura Ingalls Wilder. I'm also interested in the idea of climate change and weather. I can't see how the two can exist together. Like you could tell they wanted to champion in it, but they couldn't. And that, as a writer, getting that is both hopeful and frustrating, right?
Yes, I think that summarizes it pretty well. On one hand, it seems like the concept is landing or very close to landing, but there's still obviously some missing piece, or else they would have said yes. So, you know, what am I missing that is limiting somebody else reading this from being able to put those together?
So why didn't you give up?
Because I'm very stubborn, because I knew deep down that this is an interesting concept, that there is a here, there's a there, that when I went to these conferences of people who are not weather people, who are Laura Ingalls Wilder fans, for instance, or naturalists or people outside of both places, that when I talked about these weather events of Laura's past and the weather events of now and how those connect to each other, it sparked interest, it sparked questions, it sparked curiosity. And I knew that there is a reason people are interested in that, and putting that story with all of these weather tidbits of information and climate information had people's interest. I knew it was there. I just needed to figure out how to help others see it too.
So I want to jump further back in time. You have a PhD, and your PhD work was around this topic. It was around Laura Ingalls Wilder and weather. What is the PhD in?
The PhD is from the University of Nebraska, and the very long description of the topic is Natural Resources, Climate Assessment and Impacts. So it's essentially a climate PhD. And my dissertation was the foundational research for a lot of what's in my book, actually, but I focused specifically on what Laura wrote about during The Long Winter, one of her books, going back into the weather and untangling what happened and how close it was to the story she told, and then digging deeper into the climate signals and why it happened and whether a winter like that could ever happen again. And so then a little bit on communicating about it, which drew me to this book idea too.
So when you first proposed this in a very scientific program to write about Laura Ingalls Wilder, was there pushback? Was there questioning? Did people think you were wackadoodle? Like, what was the reception back then?
So I was very, very fortunate in the program I entered. I entered after 8 years of being in my career. So the advisors I had approached were people I knew professionally. And having already had that relationship, I think they understood me. Also, I was in a fortunate position not to be tied to any particular grant. I was coming in basically as a free unfunded student. So I had the liberty to propose some ideas. I breathlessly went from the Laura Palooza conference in 2010. And yes, that's a real thing. But it is very academic and serious and not at all as silly as it sounds. I went from that conference to my advisors within a couple of weeks to say, I presented this thing there and it really, really landed. And I want to investigate why it worked so well. What are the chances that you'll let me? And we worked together to come up with a dissertation plan that included enough foundational science along with this concept that they supported it because it is an important part of applying climatology to not just have that foundational data and information, but to be able to reach and communicate with people so they can use it.
What year was that?
I started in 2010 and graduated in 2014 with that PhD.
And here we are in 2024, and your book is going to come out in 2025. So 10 years plus of living with this idea and this concept and presenting it live and presenting it in an academic setting and now presenting it to a reading public. I think one of the unsung talents of writers in some ways is the ability to live with a topic and maintain enthusiasm for it for a long time, because that's the story of many writers. Was there any point along the way where you lost enthusiasm, or where does your enthusiasm measure now compared to 2014?
You know, having listened to this podcast and others through the years, they tell you if you're going to write about a topic, be sure you want to sit with it really closely for a couple of years. And it makes me kind of chuckle. I've been doing the research for this topic, or at least dabbling at the interest in it, since 2009. So, as you said, a very long time. And there have been a good number of projects I've worked on through the years where you work on it a couple of years and then you're done and you're ready to tuck it in bed and thank it for its service and move on. And I'm not there yet with this project. And maybe I'll get there someday, or maybe it just tells me that being in this weird little niche that I'm in is just the right place to be. But I am every bit as enthusiastic about this now as I was when I started. It's that scientific curiosity of there's still more to talk about and there's still more to learn, and the interest and the general reach that it has, because so many people are interested in Laura Ingalls Wilder and so many people are interested in talking about the weather that, you know, it gives me a great topic of conversation with so many people.
So if we leap back even further, do you recall the first time you read Laura Ingalls Wilder?
I recall it vividly, actually. My mom gave me a garage sale purchased copy of Laura Ingalls Wilder when I was in first grade, of Little House on the Prairie specifically. And I looked at the two girls on the cover looking out of the back of a buggy, and I wrinkled my nose to her and I said, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And she said, just give it a chance. I really think you will. And, you know, moms know best, especially when they have their child's interests at heart. And she was absolutely right. I loved it and devoured the rest of the series very quickly.
And did you go back later and read them as an older child or adult?
Repeatedly.
Before the research piece.
Repeatedly. As a kid, as a teenager, it was comfort books to me. People have comfort food and comfort movies and TV shows. This was my comfort book. I'd go back and pick out whatever book in the series seemed to land with whatever my mood was. In fact, that was the genesis of this project, because as an adult, it was the end of the winter of 2008 to 2009, and it just wouldn't quit, and I was ready for it to be done. So I pulled The Long Winter off the shelf because I wanted to remind myself that even the longest winter is going to end, and so will this one. And then, as always, when I read it, I had these curious questions wondering, well, you know, was that winter like she described it? And then, you know, remembered that I'm a meteorologist and I know how to look this up, and I could, and started to look things up and just went down rabbit hole after rabbit hole.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. So that's life. There you are in your life. It's a long winter colliding with a comfort book that you pull off your shelf to help yourself past a moment, colliding with your area of scholarship and study and your process of inquiry, all of those things coming together in that moment for leading to a book idea. I mean, I just love that so much. That moment, what a great story. So now we're going to leap back forward in time to when I encountered you and your book. You happened to be the winner of a contest that we ran on this podcast, which was that either KJ or I would review a full blueprint. And we had decided in advance that if it was nonfiction, I was going to do it. And if it was fiction, she was going to do it. So we didn't know who was going to be doing the review. We just knew one of us was going to do it. And we did a random number drawing of the entrants, and you won. And so I had the experience of reading your blueprint, which, for those who don't know, the blueprinting process is a process I designed. It's a process of inquiry where you put your idea to the test, typically at the beginning of a project, but also very effectively in the middle. So I get this blueprint from you, these 14 steps answered. And my first thought was, oh dear, I have nothing to add to this. It's so good. That was my first thought, where I did a sort of flash read through, and I thought, this is not good, because you want to be of service, you know, to the prize winner. And that reaction that I had is not unusual. Oftentimes, I just love people's book ideas, and I love their presentation of them, and I love the whole thing. So that is often my first thought, but I've done this long enough that I thought, okay, let me now go back in and carefully go through it and really look at this. And this is a serious writer with a serious idea who's not getting traction. We know that. So why is that? And I went through and I found some disconnects, I guess I would say, or logic problems of logic, or holes, however you want to describe them, and presented those to you. And then we had the wonderful experience of getting to dig into those. My recollection of that conversation was that it was really fun. What was your recollection of that
conversation? Oh, it was the same. I had notes all over the place in my notebook. The more excited I am, the less linear my notes get. And my notes are mapped out like an explosion from that conversation. I never win anything, right? I never win drawings. I never win random prizes. And when I first got the email, I saw it and just thought, oh, they're thanking me for participating in the Summer Blueprint Challenge. And then I read it more carefully and I said, oh, they're announcing that I won this contest thing. And I was very excited, because as much as Caroline, my book coach, had helped me so much to come as far as I had from a very academic version of what I wanted to say to a story, I just knew I needed more and needed. That's why I went through that challenge in the first place, to go back into my blueprint. I had done one with her, but to go back again and see where it was breaking down. And I gained some improvement just going through it myself even. And I was satisfied that I had done that. But having that chance to iterate with you just and bounce some of the ideas and language around that we were using just helped so tremendously, even in that very first time I talked to you with the explosion of words in my notebook.
Well, and what we were untangling is something that many, many nonfiction writers as well as memoir and fiction writers actually have to untangle, which is this three books in one? What is the real point here? What is the main purpose here? You could write five different books on this material. And what I mean by that is there could be a very academic book. There could be a policy type of book, given some of the work that you do. There could be a very Laura Ingalls Wilder centric book. So which one was it going to be? And the questions we were asking around who is the audience? I remember were very resonant. And some of the, you had shared with me, that's when I read some of the agent feedback. And it was, people love Laura Ingalls Wilder in the world of literature because so many of us had that same experience or similar that you did to encountering that story and the roles that it's played in our lives. So people love thinking about her and talking about her and talking about those books. And there was that impression from the agents, and people are concerned about climate change. It's a thing you can't not be thinking about these days. So it seemed like, well, can't these things coexist together? Why is it so hard to convince people? What, who are these people that we're trying to speak to? Like, those were some of the conversations about, is it people whose primary concern is climate, or is it people whose primary interest is Laura Ingalls, or where's the Venn diagram where these things meet? And you, as the expert and the passionate writer, have been immersed in those questions for so long that it becomes, I think it becomes difficult to sort them for your own self. So that's what I recall was the primary concern of our conversation.
I remember a lot of discussion about audience and the overall point, that overall message that I was trying to get home. And I think for me, one of the more revelatory lines of discussion we had was convincing myself that this point of this book was not about Laura Ingalls Wilder, that she was an important part of it, but the point was in the conveying weather past and weather now, and looking at that holistically as what climate change and what climate is, so that folks can, you know, pay attention to what's around them and see these connections in their own lives now. I hadn't gotten there quite yet before we started talking, and I was there by the end.
Well, your working subtitle, I'm going to read that for folks because it will surely change, but is What Laura Ingalls Wilder Can Teach Us About Watching the Weather, Understanding Our Climate, and Protecting What We Cherish. And those, that very long and sort of clunky subtitle gets at that point that you're really speaking about the reader as watcher and the reader as noticer of the weather, so that we can protect what we cherish, and the connection to the fact that that's what Laura Ingalls Wilder was doing in her work.
Exactly. A big chunk of this book is helping people see who all of the different weather observers are and have been through the years. And, you know, yes, there are people who do it officially and do it formally. And also there are people like Laura Ingalls Wilder who wrote books about what they saw and worked their observations in. And, you know, people who have a rain gauge in their backyards or keep a temperature mounted on the tree behind them, or, you know, maybe have one of those weather instruments that they put out to keep track of the weather. There are so many people who pay attention to the weather in so many ways. And there are people who spot storms and people who do volunteer activities. And all of this together becomes the body of what we know about weather past and weather now. And it's all important.
What do your meteorologist colleagues that you've mentioned this to think of it?
You know, they're pretty excited about this. It's interesting, in the weather worlds that I walk in, I'm the Laura Ingalls Wilder person. So when they read the books with their kids, for instance, they'll maybe send me a message and let me know. Meteorologists and climatologists are often looking for ways to make it easier to communicate what we want people to know about weather and climate, especially when it comes to safety and protection. And there are folks who see this as something we can learn about how to communicate to folks who maybe are going to get their information in a different way. You know, maybe they need to tie it to a story that they heard about once to trigger a memory of what to do to keep themselves safe.
And I'd love to hear, so the book is going to be published by, I guess I would describe them as a regional press. Is that accurate? It's the South Dakota Historical Society Press.
It is the South Dakota Historical Society Press. And it just makes so much sense for my book to be there. When I finally got that one last rejection from an agent that pushed me to stop querying agents, it was, again, because of the marketing thing. And I always knew that this press knows Laura Ingalls Wilder. They publish quite a few books about her, but it isn't the only thing they do. They publish regional information. They are considered an academic press. So there's, you know, quite a bit of review and vetting of the material they publish. They're a trusted source in the Laura Ingalls Wilder world. And I knew that I wanted to go to them. In fact, I knew I wanted to go to them so badly that I was almost afraid to, because if they had said no, I think that would have hurt more than any rejection that I had gotten. So, oh, thank goodness. thank goodness they said yes.
The process of them saying yes took a little while. Now that they have said yes, does it feel like the right fit?
It's like it's meant to be all along. It just feels exactly like the right fit because they know Laura Ingalls Wilder. They know how to market Laura Ingalls Wilder related books. They know the region well. And, you know, this is a book that's likely going to have strong appeal in the central United States just because that's where Laura's stories come from. And I just, you know, they have editors who are experts in Laura Ingalls Wilder themselves. For all the work they've been doing through the years, it just feels like exactly the right fit for this book.
I have to imagine that this is their only book on Laura Ingalls Wilder and weather, though.
Yes, that is true. And in their feedback to me, they are excited for this overlap of Laura Ingalls Wilder and your environment and world around you, the weather, the climate, how it affects the land and the animals around you. That is something they're interested in telling more stories about for this region, especially. So I love it because they get it, right? They get that I want to make this connection from Laura Ingalls Wilder to the weather of the past and weather now and all of the differences then to now and how our landscape has changed around us.
So I want to ask about Laura Palooza, but before I do that, can you explain to our listeners what it is?
Sure. So Laura Palooza is an academic conference for all topics related to Laura Ingalls Wilder, her family, her places she's lived. It is run by the nonprofit organization Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association, and we typically host it every 2 to 3 years or so.
And I believe you met Jess Leahy there. Is that right? Yeah.
I took a chance. We hosted, I say we because I served for a long time on the board of this nonprofit. We hosted Laura Palooza in, 2022? 2022. We hosted it in Burlington, Vermont, so that we could be close to the Almanza Wilder Farm in Malone, New York. Knowing that Jess is from Vermont and I have read, her book, oh my gosh, The Gift of Failure. I've read The Gift of Failure with its introduction that mentions Laura Ingalls Wilder right off the bat. And she's talked about it in the podcast too. So I thought, well, you know, I wonder if she'd be interested in attending this, just, you know, drop by and see if it's a topic of interest. So I wrote her and asked if she wanted to join as a media participant, and she did. She came to the majority of the conference and interacted with a number of presenters, and it seemed that she had a wonderful time. It was great to meet her. She's every bit as lovely in person as you think she is when you listen to her talk on the podcast.
Well, she's so excited for you. She is a huge champion of this book and this idea. So now that we know what Laura Palooza is like, when is the next one?
So the next one should be in 2025, and that's not coincidental that my book is to come out in the same year. The press and I agree that targeting a release just before that conference would be great for marketing.
So you've got a year or more to finish the book, to have it go through the process, all the things that happen with that. Are you also thinking about other ways that you're going to try to connect with readers and get the book out there? Or are you just right now resting in the celebration?
I am celebrating while thinking ahead, because I don't think there's any rest for the weary here. It being an academic small press, a lot of that marketing, like in many publications, is going to fall to what I can do. So I am interested in going to all of the home sites. Many folks who author books related to Laura Ingalls Wilder will go through the different home sites and museums and do signings at those through the summer in the peak tourist season. There are other conferences and groups I have in mind as well to try to get to and make the connection to them with this book. And the marketing plan that I put in my book proposal, I am starting to light the ignition.
Well, and that is a great argument for doing a proposal, no matter what sort of book you're writing on a nonfiction side, whether you're self-publishing or working with a small press or anything, is to have that roadmap to be able to know who you're reaching, why you're reaching them, what you're doing, and start following that road. So it's so exciting. And we are all here at Am Writing Podcast going to be watching you and celebrating. And we feel like we played a tiny role in your story. And that's exciting to us. And we just want to celebrate you and offer you congratulations and say yay.
Thank you so much. I really think the podcast should take more credit than that, because anything I know about the world of marketing or publishing probably started from this podcast. I'm a meteorologist by trade. I know next to nothing about the publishing world, but thanks to the information I learned here, I queried articles that got published. I learned how to put a proposal together. I learned what a book coach was, and then identified my own need to get one, and just so many steps that I wouldn't have thought of to take. So I'm grateful this podcast exists. I'm beyond excited and honored to be on it.
Well, thank you. And thanks to Jess and Serena and KJ for all the service that they've done to the writing community. I'm a late newcomer as a co-host, so it's all them. But it was a great pleasure to have you win that prize and get to help you at that crossroads and help you form this book into what you want it to be. It was a thrill.
Thank you so much for all of your input and advice and just being a cheerleader and champion after the work part was done. You've been very supportive and I am grateful. I'm probably indebted, actually, but I am definitely grateful.
I can't stop thinking about great book ideas, and yours was a great one. And I'm really thrilled for you. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. If listeners are curious about how to follow your progress on this book and know when it's coming out, where can they find you?
I have a website, wilderweather.com. And you can also find me on Substack as Wilder Weather, where I'm starting a newsletter and hope to gain some followers.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us, and keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag Am Writing podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause, stop.
Thank you.